Okay, today's daf is Hafadzara, daf Ayin Dalid. We left off, we got to the bottom of Ayin Gimel and Beis, we finished Ayin Gimel. Just want to make one more point. The last thing we mentioned was about why it is that Tevel, when it is mixed, even B'mashahu, is going to be Aser. So we had two possibilities. One was the possibility that's recorded here in our Gemara in Talmud Bavli, that the reason that it's Aser B'mashahu is because that just Ketero Kachisuro, just like by Tevel we find that a single stalk is going to be so significant, because Chita Achas Poteres Esakri, a single stalk of wheat will make the whole thing okay. If you just take one stalk and make a Truma, that's going to be, that will make the whole thing okay. So too, be isuro. So to a single stalk is going to be so critical in terms of having the ability to aser even b'mashu. But then Tosos quoted that in Talmud Yerushalmi it offers a different reason, what seems to be a more fundamental reason, and that is that tevel is a davar sheyesh lo matirin. That in general the halacha is that if something can become mutter, we do not apply the laws of bittul to something that can become mutter. So since tevel is davar sheyesh lo matirin, that's why it's aser b'mashu. So we discussed yesterday. Tosos points out why it is that we need both reasons, both the fact that ketero kachi suro, as well as the reason of davar sheyesh lo matirin. Just one point I wanted to make: if in the back of the Gemara, there's a one of the commentators in the back of the Gemara is called Mitzpah Esan. He has very fascinating comments all the time, and he writes over here that he saw shetama al zeh b'shalus u'tshuva zichron Yosef, that the tshuva zichron Yosef wondered about this comment of the Yerushalmi, the tevel truma gadol shenis ariv berov chulin mesukanim. Ain lo takana b'hafrasha klal. Dimitevelach achar daraisa iefshar lahafrish al tarovis tolavi tevel min haTorah. Dechad betrei batli. He says, wait a second. Is this really a davar sheyesh lo matirin? We're not talking about where you have stam tevel. We're talking about tevel that's mixed in with a regular chulin. And you can't identify which is the tevel. It's all one big taroves. So is that really true that the tevel is a davar sheyesh lo matirin? That you can fix that tevel? It's not fixable, he says, because what are you going to do? You want to be mafresh from other tevel? Well, you're not allowed to be mafresh from tevel that's tevel min haTorah to tevel that's not tevel min haTorah, to tevel that's already in the taroves, that midoraisa has already been batel. So what do you want to do? You want to be mafresh minei ubei from this tevel itself? Minei ubei enu yachla afresh kiven sharov chulin dilma notel mehen ala tevel. Most of it is chulin, is not tevel of this taroves that's in front of you. So if you take chulin out of it, so it's not going to be a valid hafresh. It's not going to be truma at all. Umi demai efshar lahafresh. You can't be mafresh on other tevel midrabanan like demai. Because the Mai is not chayiv in Truma Gedola, because Amaratzim are presumed to have already taken Truma Gedola. So Mimanav Shechul, it will turn out that there's no actual way to be matir this tevel that's already b'taroves mixed in with all this chulin. So how can you call that a davar sheyesh lo matirin? It's not yesh lo matirin. There's no way to actually fix it. So leaving out what the mitzvah and answers to that question, l'chora, this question is taloi on the fundamental machlokas between Rashi and the Ran in the understanding of how davar sheyesh lo matirin works. Rashi in Maseches Beitza writes that the reason davar sheyesh lo matirin works, the reason that davar sheyesh lo matirin is not batel, that something that can become mutter is not batel, is a simple svara, that instead of having it while it's asr, you might as well wait for it to be mutter and have it while it's mutter. If that is the svara of davar sheyesh lo matirin, then this kasha is a very good kasha. There's no way to actually be matir this tevel. This tevel is mixed in with chulin. You can't be mafresh truma from anywhere on this tevel. So I understand that would be a very good kasha. However, the Ran has a different explanation of davar sheyesh lo matirin. The Ran of Maseches Nedarim writes that the concept of davar sheyesh lo matirin is that anything that can eventually become mutter inherently has characteristics of heter. It is not a full-fledged cheftza di isura. It is not isur. It inherently has characteristics of heter. And since it inherently has characteristics of heter, it's like a spiritual min bimino. It's not a min bimino in the classical sense that there are two things that taste the same and look the same, but it's a min bimino on a spiritual level, that it's something that is that has characteristics of heter mixed in with a large tarovus of things that are totally mutter. And that's why the Ran says a davar sheyesh lematirin can't become batel, because we treat it as a min b'mino. So if you understand like the Ran, it has nothing to do with the fact that you might actually be able to be matir it. It's the fact that halachically, tevel, by definition, could become mutter, whether there are practical things that will stop you, practical factors that will stop you from actually making it happen or not, is irrelevant. The point is that tevel has inherent characteristics of heter. So if that's the case, the kash of the Zichron Yosef, quoted by the Mitzvah son, l'chor is not a kash at all. So what that you can't practically be mafreshit? You don't have to be able to practically be mafreshit in order for it to lose its ability to become batel. Okay, that was just one ha'ar I wanted to add from yesterday. Now let's start new Mishnah. Ayin dalet amud aleph. Several Mishnayos in today's daf. New Mishnah. Elu asurin va'osurin b'kalshu. The following things are asur and cause other things to be asur by just a kalshu of them getting mixed in. Rashi explains kol makom shenis arvu shamafilu echad be'elef lo batil va'osurin es kulan. So the following items that we're about to list, if they fall into something that's totally mutter, even one in a thousand, everything becomes asur. And they are, number one, yayin nesach. If you have yayin nesach, so Rashi says, don't make a mistake over here. You might think yayin nesach means a drop of yayin nesach falls into a big barrel of regular yayin. That's not what we mean over here. Yayin nesach means chavis be'elef chavios. A barrel of yayin nesach gets mixed in with 1,000 other barrels of regular kosher wine. That's what we mean by it. That's the case of yayin nesach over here. Number two, va'avodos kochavim, avodah zara. If you have a statue that was used for avodah zara, that was worshipped, and it gets mixed in with 1,000 other statues that are not avodah zara, so all of them are going to be asir. Va'oros levuvin. Oros levuvin is a concept we had earlier in the Masechta, where we discussed how they, as one of the ways of worshipping the avodah zara, they would take a live animal and they would cut open the area on top of the heart and they would rip out the heart from the live animal. Obviously, it wouldn't remain alive very long, but that was their avoda. So you could tell on the hide of the animal that it had a lot of blood right around the heart area, and it had a big hole right around the heart area that was killed in such a way. But Oros Levuvin, if they were to get mixed in with other hides of animals and you were unable to identify it, so that also would aser all of the thousands of hides that it gets mixed in with. Vishara Niskol. The Shara Niskol, we know, is an animal, a shar that was sentenced to death in Beis Din, the Egla Arufa, and an Egla Arufa, we know, of course, is when you have a dead body that's found between two cities, and you don't know how the dead body got there, who's responsible for it. So the Beis Din of they measure out the proximity to the two cities, and the Beis Din that's closest to the dead body has to do the whole procedure of Egla Arufa, right? That's the source for the concept of Karov being a Mevarer in Halacha, that when something is close by, so that sometimes clarifies for us what the Halacha should be. Just like Rov is a Mevarer, this is whole Sugyam of Basra, which is better, Rov or Karov, which is a stronger determining factor when we need to figure things out, is Rov or Karov, but Egla Arufa is the source of Karov. Tzipari mitzora, the birds of a mitzora that he brings as his carbon. So Rashi says tzipari mitzora, and the next one is seir nazir, the hair of a nazir. The halacha is a nazir, after he cuts his hair, he shaves off all the hair on his head when he brings his carbon at the conclusion of his nazirus. He has to burn all the hair. He throws it on the fire under the yorah. Upeter chamar, and also peter chamar, they would do a pidyon of a peter chamar because until they do that pidyon, the petach hamar is aser. So if the petach hamar gets mixed in with 1,000 other chamoros, so then it's not going to be batel. It's going to aser all of them. Ubasar, you can find video online of petach hamar. It's still something that's done rarely, but it looks like a pidyon aben just with an animal. That's what it is. So ubasar b'chalav, and also basar b'chalav, if it gets mixed in one in 1,000, then everything's going to be asir. U'si'ira mishtaleach, and the si'ira mishtaleach on Yom Kippurim, v'chulin shenishchetu b'azara, and chulin that's shechted in the azara. Again, if it gets mixed in with 1,000 regular kosher animals, all of them are asir. Harelu asurin va'usim b'chalashu. All these these things are not only asr in their own right, but they asr other things b'kolshu. So Rashi has a couple of important comments over here. If you look at Rashi, in Dibra Maskul Basar B'chalav, the bracketed Dibra Maskul Basar B'chalav, what's the case of Basar B'chalav that it's asr b'mashu, that it gets mixed into a thousand? So similar to what Rashi said about the Yayin Nesach, he's going to say over here, don't get confused. This does not mean, like by Yayin Nesach, he said, it does not mean a drop of wine falls into a big barrel of wine. Over here, it does not mean a drop of milk falls into a big pot of chicken soup. Rashi says, chatichas, but what we're talking about over here is, rather, chatichas basar shenisbash l'b'chalav. You had a piece of meat that was actually cooked with a substantial amount of milk, v'ne'esra b'nosin tam, and the entire piece of meat became asr because it has tam chalav in it. V'chazr v'nisarva be'elav chatichos, and then that piece of meat gets mixed in with a thousand other pieces of meat. So seres kulan bahana, it asks all the other pieces of meat bahana. The high tana sover basar b'chalav isra na. Now it happens to be this tana assumes that basar b'chalav is isra na. Deplukti b'chalav basar b'shchitos kulan, because it happens to be a machlokas in kalabasar. The yeshan lemeidim in mishnah senu the basar b'chalav b'mashu. Now here's where he comments. Some learn from our mission that basar b'chalav is isra b'mashu, which means usvurin that they hold. The high b'kolshu d'ktani kigom tipas chalav shenafel l'kadeira o chatichas basar katana shenafel l'kadeira v'afilu ein ba nosin tam, that if a tiny drop of milk falls into a huge pot of chalent, even though it's not nosin tam, even though it's bottled, there's a thousand times the chalent to the little drop of milk, they want a tiner from this mission that you see that it's all going to be aser, that basar b'chalav asers b'mashu, and that's what it means that it asers b'mashu. Says Rashi v'ta'us hu b'yadam, this is a mistake for those who want to say this. He doesn't say who they are. He says Yesha Malamdin. When Tosos quotes these people that say this, he says Rabosav Shal Rashi wanted to say this. Rashi's Rebbeim wanted to say this. I guess Rashi was respectful over here, didn't say that it was his own Rebbeim. He just said Yesha Malamdin. There were people that wanted to say this. The top Tosos doesn't say anything that this Rashi doesn't say. He just quotes almost word for word from the Rashi, except for that. He changes that it's not Yesha Malamdin, it's Rabosav Shal Rashi that wanted to say it. And it's a total mistake, Rashi says. Because the Gemara is going to explain that what do all the items listed in our Mishnah have in common? They're all Davar Shebeminyan. What does a Davar Shebeminyan mean? It means something that is counted. Something that you would say, like when you buy eggs, you don't just buy a bag of eggs, you buy a dozen eggs. That would make it a Davar Shebeminyan. Something that you would do by number, that would be counted by number. Kigon Chaticha B'Chatichos Mishum Zedak Limnos. So when we talk about Basar B'Cholav, why is Basar B'Cholav a Davar Shebeminyan? If you're talking about a drop of milk, you don't buy thousands of drops of milk, you buy a gallon of milk or whatever it is. It's not considered to be a Davar Shebeminyan milk that falls into a big vat of chalent. No, what's a davar shebeminyan? A piece of steak is a davar shebeminyan. I'll buy six steaks, seven steaks for my whole family, whatever it is. So that's a davar shebeminyan. So it has to be that we're talking about the piece of steak that's mixed in with other steaks, then they're all davar shebeminyan. The lo batil, the ibe basar shenasayiv time of a chalav kamayri, or betipas chalav shenafal the kaderis basar, miyavi davar shebeminyan. Talking about a drop of milk fell into your chalent. That's not a davar shebeminyan. So that's one reason why they're wrong. The ode, plus they're wrong because the halacha is just flat out wrong. We know that the halacha is that all isurim in the Torah are asur b'nosin tam. When you have a tarovus of lach v'lach, when you have a mixture where one thing is mixing completely or giving tam into something else, the isur is only b'nosin tam. So if you have 59-1 ratio, so that's in fact going to be enough to make it mutter. Now the Rashi then says at the end that about the Seir Nazir, he says Seir Nazir. Seir Nazir, he says, you might think it's not a davar shebeminyan. He says, Yavi, if you think that it's not a davar shebeminyan, you're not in the sheitel business. That they sell it, it is sold as a davar shebeminyan. It's sold, now they used to use it to make bags, not to make sheitelach, but the hairs of human beings, shearings, he calls it, kama gizos, but we're talking about hairs of human beings, are sold by minyan, they're sold by number. How many people's hairs, how many heads of hair are you buying? It's sold by numbers. So that's also considered to be a davar shebeminyan. Now, the Rambam in the list on the Mishnayos leaves out Sira Mishtaleach. If you look at the if you look in the Hagos Hagra by Sir Mishaleach, so it says in the Hagos Hagra Nimchak that it's erased, and he says V'chein Yerushalmi Rif for Rush Lesa, and it doesn't appear in the Yerushalmi Rif and the Rush that the Sir Mishaleach belongs anywhere on this list. In fact, if you look at our Gerson Rashi, what does Rashi say in the first skinny line? Tzipori Mitzora V'chulin Shnishchu Bazara. Right, so he goes from Tzipori Mitzora to V'chulin Shnishchu Bazara. So that's a little strange because he skips over a lot of things, but it seems that he skips over the Seir Mishaleach. Rashi doesn't comment on the Seir Mishaleach as far as I see. Right, so it seems that Seir Mishaleach is left off the list. Now Rambam also leaves out Seir Mishaleach. Why? So the Radvaz explains on the Rambam that in Machalos Hasuros Perek Tazayin Alach Hazayin that Seir Mishaleach is left off the list because it's lo efshar sheyis ariv imacherim. It's impossible that the Seir Mishaleach is going to get mixed in with other seirim that look alike. Why? Because what do we do to the Seir Mishaleach? Seir Mishaleach is on Yom Kippur. When we send this is the Seir Lazazel, we tie on its horns a red string. So probably if it gets mixed in with other goats, the one with the red string is the Seir Mishaleach. It's very, very difficult to lose it. It's got a red string tied on its horns. Tied Bein Karnav, a Lashon Shel Zuhuris. So he says that's why he leaves out the Seir Mishaleach for practical reasons, not because it's not a Davar Shem Minyan, not because it wouldn't be Aser B'mashu. Of course it would Aser B'mashu. Thing is, it's very practically very impossible to happen. The Melech HaShlomo, the Mishnah here, says they also you need to be Mochik Seir Mishaleach, right? This apparently was a controversial girsa of Seir Mishaleach. Now in regards to the Seir Nazir, so we pointed out Rashi says that Seir Nazir is also because the Pasuk says V'nasan ala esha shetacha zevach hashlamim. Right? Rashi had said quotes the Pasuk that it's Aser Ba'ana, Rashi in the fifth skinny line, that it's Aser Ba'ana because the Pasuk says V'nasan ala esha shetacha zevach hashlamim, that you're supposed to take the hair of the Nazir and put it on the fire underneath the carbon, so that the hair will burn. And that's what the Yerushalmi says as well, that it's chayiv to burn, and therefore you see from the fact that you're chayiv to burn it, that it's aser ba'ana. However, in Maseches Kiddushin Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara also discusses how we know that the hair of a Nazir is aser ba'ana. And over there the Gemara says, the Gemara obviously in Kiddushin is talking about someone who's mekadesh with hair of a Nazir. A guy has beautiful, long, let's say, red hair. So it's very very hard to come by, very difficult for a woman to make a sheitel out of, to find a proper sheitel. And this guy's got the most beautiful long red hair, and he becomes a nazir for years, and he grows it out, and then he cuts off the hair. So he figures now he's got something valuable on his hands. So he wants to be mekadesh and isha with that hair. So he goes over to a woman and he says to a redhead, and he says, "Hare amukadeshesli with this hair, right? So is that a good kiddushin or is it not a good kiddushin?" So the Gemara in Kiddushin and Zion says invalid kiddushin. Why? Because the hair is aser ba'ana, doesn't have any value. How do I know it's aser ba'ana? Pasuk says kadosh yeh gadal pera sa'arosho. So since it calls it kodesh, we treat it like hagdish. Mimela it's aser ba'ana. And the fact that it's called Kadosh. So the Tos Yantif already asks, why over here does Rashi say that the reason that Seir Nazir is Aser Ba'ana is because it says V'nasan Aleisha Shetach Zevach HaShlamim in the Gemara Kiddushin, it has from the different Pasuk, from the fact that it's called Kadosh. So the Shar Mitzion Ba'alach over here quotes the Kol HaRamaz. The Kol HaRamaz explains that you need both sources. You need the source of Kadosh Yeh, and you need the source of the fact that it's thrown in the fire by the Karban. He says, because over there, we're talking during the Zman of his Nazirus, when he's still growing his hair, when it's still during the period of his Nazirus. Over here, we're talking about after he's already shaved it for the sake of the mitzvah. So one might have thought, had we only had the source over there in Kiddushin, I would have thought, yes, it's considered Hegdish, and it's Aser Ba'ana, calls man that it's still growing and that he's still in the middle of his Nazirus. But once he's already shaved it off and his Nazirus is over, so you already did the mitzvah with it. So called Davar Shnas Mitzvah. So think anything you've already done the mitzvah with, so mele becomes mutter. So that's why we have a separate source. Rashi Ovir gives us a separate source that even after you've already shaved it off, it becomes mutter. Then the obvious kasha becomes, okay, so why don't we just have our limud? Why don't we just have the limud from the pasuk about throwing it in the fire under the karban? So he says, Ein lahakshos v'lichto v'nasan demayri acharas yas mitzvah. Just have the pasuk that applies after doing the mitzvah, and then kol shkein dekodem lo, and then I'll know for sure that it's good. If it's even aser ba'ana after you've done the mitzvah, then obviously it's asur b'ana before you did the mitzvah. The lo kasuv kadoshiyah minalan dasur b'ana. The fact that you throw it in the fire just tells me that there's a mitzvah to throw it in the fire. That does not tell me that there's an isur hana'ah. How do I know that there's an isur hana'ah? From the fact that the Torah calls it kadosh. The Torah refers to it as hegdish. So that's how I know it's asur b'ana'ah. Now granted, that's only before that pasuk was referring to before you shave it off, but you see that it starts out as something that's asur b'ana'ah. So presumably, if it remains, if after you cut it off, the Torah tells me I have to go and throw it in the fire, presumably that's because the Isra Hana'ah never went away from it. So it's only because of I have that background of knowing that it started out as being Asur B'ana'ah of Kadoshiyah, that I therefore know that the requirement to throw it in the fire is not Stam, just a mitzvah. It's more than a regular mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that's a reflection of the fact that the Isra Hana'ah still remains, that the Isra Hana'ah is still there. Fine, that is our Mishnah. So basically, what did our Mishnah do at the end of the day when all the dust settles? Our mission just said that there are many things that asr b'kol shu, that if they get mixed in with 1,000, everything's going to be asr. All 1,000 dvarim mutarim that are mixed in with this one dvar isr are all going to be asr. And the mission just gave a list of things that are asr b'kol shu. Question is, whenever a mission gives a list like this, you have to ask yourself, what do they have in common? What's the rule that the Mishnah is using? The Mishnah is not just giving, these aren't 10 exceptions to the rule. What's the rule that the Mishnah is using that these things should not become batel? So says the Gemara, Tana Maiko Chashev, what's the Tana identifying over here? What's he trying to locate when he gives these examples? E davar shebeminyan kachashev, if he's trying to count anything that's a davar shebeminyan, and he's trying to say a davar shebeminyan, something that's countable, is not batel, so listening nami chatichas nevela. Why doesn't he mention chatichas nevela? That's also a davar shebeminyan. Minyan, and therefore should not become batel. If he's just trying to list things that are asur b'hana'ah, listing nami chametz b'pesach, then why doesn't he mention chametz b'pesach? That's also asur b'hana'ah, and therefore also should not become batel. Should asur b'mashahu. So what's he going for? Is he trying davar shebeminyan? The list is incomplete. If it's isurei hana'ah, also the list is incomplete. So I'm Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, v'item Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, haitan atarti islay, davar shebeminyan v'isurei hana'ah. He's looking for those rare things that have both qualities, that are both the davar shebeminyan and isurei hana'ah. And that's why he doesn't mention chametz b'pesach, and that's why he doesn't mention chatichas nevela. Right? Rashi explains, di'ika tarti l'chashivu, so he's looking for things that have both of the qualities, Rashi in the first wide line, t'chashiv isu did hu delo batil, aval chametz prusa b'pesach, hol ve'in Darko Limnos, Batil, Umasha Chachamel Lenar, Vasharnos in the Kalvo. He says, Chametz Bepesach, yes, it's Asur B'ana'ah, but it doesn't fit the other qualification. It's typically not a Davar Shebeminyan. So if you have a Tarovitz Chametz Bepesach, then what would be the halacha when you have a little bit of Chametz Bepesach mixed into 1,000? So Rashi says, what you would do is you would take out one of the pieces, one random piece that might be the Chametz, throw it into the river, and then the rest of them are Mutar B'ana'ah. And since the rest of them are Mutar B'ana'ah, the rest of them you can go and give to your dog. Now, very notable that, first of all, Rashi says that you take a random piece and throw it into the river. He assumes that helps. Second of all, what does it help for? It helps that you can give it to your dog. It doesn't help that you can go and eat it. So the Rush over here in the back of the Gemara writes in Simin Lamed, the Rush doesn't understand this Rashi. He says, V'lo yadana, lama lo ye tarovus chametz mutaraf ba'achila. Why is it only mutar b'ana'ah? Why not mutar b'achila? If you want to say it doesn't fit the qualifications of things that asr b'mashu, so it should be mutar b'achila. Tahada amr chametz b'mashu, hainu davar lacha masarif. We say throughout Masach Tzpsach, and the chametz asr b'mashu, that means if it's a real tarovis, like a drop of chametz, a davar lach that gets mixed in with davar lach. It's a lach b'lach tarovis, so something gets cooked together. This whole mission is talking about a yavesh b'yavesh. With this whole mission, like we said, by the wine. It's not a drop of wine that falls into a bag. It's a barrel that gets mixed in with 1,000 other barrels. So this would not fit in the category of the type of chametz b'pesach that's also b'mashu. So he says that's only davar lach misarif de makom davar shari isurim b'nosin tam have chametz b'mashu. Where other isurim would aser b'nosin tam, chametz asers b'mashu. But where other isurim do not aser b'nosin tam, because there is no nesinas tam, it's yavesh b'yavesh. Avol davar yavesh to b'shari isurim chad b'trei batel. Whereby other isurim it's just chad b'trei. Who had in chametz b'pesach? Chametz BePesach shares that same din, that it's also Chad B'Trei Batel. And he says, "Ulmai Dibai Rashi Lahach Min Losr Ba'Achila Hua Dinami Asr Ba'Na." So if Rashi wants to come and say that it's Asr Ba'Achila, it should also be Asr Ba'Na, meaning one or the other. Umasha Pirishu Mashlich Echad, and that which he says, throw one away. Lo yadana lama. I don't know why he says that either. The time of Maseches Arla, ha Arla v'Kilei Kerem olim bechru masayim ve'ein sarich laharim. That Arla and Kilei Kerem are battle with bechru masayim, and you don't need to take out a piece and throw it away. V'hadat sarich laharim b'truma. I buy truma that's batel b'meya. The halacha is if a piece of truma gets mixed in with 100 pieces of chulin, so it is batel. But the halacha is you do have to take out a piece and throw it away, right? So why do you have to do that? He says haynu mishum gezel hashevet. That's a different din. That has nothing to do with bittel. Of course it's batel, and you wouldn't need to throw it away. That's only because of gezel hashevet. That's because when it comes to truma, there are two dinim in truma. There's the din that you can't have tevel, and that you need to be mafresh the truma. So then, in terms of that din, that's completely batel. But there's another din that it's mamun hakohen. So you can't enjoy the mamun hakohen. You can't get benefit from the kohen's money. So that's why you have to take out a piece and throw it away. But that's by truma. There's no such din over here by chametz bepesach. So the Rush remains very confused by what Rashi is doing over here by telling us that chametz bepesach, the procedure of how to deal with chametz bepesach that gets mixed in. But either way, the main point that Rashi is trying to make is just explaining our Gemara that since our Mishnah was looking for things that are both a davar shel minyan and isurei hanaah, chametz bepesach doesn't fit the bill. It is isurei hanaah, but it's not a davar shel minyan. Similarly, Rashi goes on to say chatichas nevelu doesn't fit the bill because afal gav the davar shel minyan hu. Yes, it's a davar shel minyan. Kimin delav isurei hanaah hu. Batal Baruba, but it's not an Esrana, and therefore it's Batal Barov, and therefore Shadi L'Kalavim V'Inach Sharu Ba'Achila, throw one to the dogs, and the rest of them become Mutter Ba'Achila. So that's why our Mishnah leaves off these two items from the list. Says the Gemara, we're not done yet though. The list is still incomplete, even if you're looking for things that have both qualities, that are Davar Shem Minyan and Asrana. The list name goes Eperech V'Rimoni Badan, the Davar Shem Minyan V'Srana Hu. Why don't we list that goes Eperech and Rimoni Badan? Perech and Badan are names of places that are apparently very chashuv, so they're a davar shel minyan plus the asr ba'ana. So says Gemara, hatana le'asam aray la'arla arla, haray le'kilei kerem le'kilei kerem. Now we do mention it. It says it over there in the Mishnah that haray la'arla arla, haray le'kilei kerem le'kilei kerem. So it does have the full status of things that are asr. V'listening kikar shel balabayis le'inyin chametz bepesach. Why don't we mention kikar shel balabayis, which are a davar shel minyan, homemade breads? So on Pesach is not only chametz, which is asr ba'na, it's also davar shel minyan. Why don't we mention that? So says the Gemara. Now the gears has changed a little on the side. Man sham le dam chametz pesach asr ba'na, Rabbi Akiva hatanalei. Well, don't worry, because Rabbi Akiva is the one that says that chametz bepesach is asr ba'na, and Rabbi Akiva, in fact, adds it to the list. Rabbi Akiva says, yes, kikar shel bal bayis are also something that's going to asr b'mashahu, so it's not left off the list. Harei elu, then the Mishnah concluded by saying, all of these things are asurin, the osrin b'kal shahu. So what's the harei elu coming to exclude? L'mutei mai. L'mutei davar shel minyan v'lav yisurena, inami l'mutei yisurena v'lo davar shel minyan. It's either coming to exclude things that are davar shel minyan and not asr ba'ana, like we gave the example of chatichas nevela, or it's coming to include things that are not a davar shel minyan but are yes asr ba'ana, like chametz bepesach. Now, if you look at Tosfos in the first wide line, the mutei davar shel minyan ve'inu surana, says the chora mashma da asr l'mutei. What does it mean coming to exclude? If you have something that's davar shel minyan not asr ba'ana, what would the halacha then be? So the implication is asr l'mutei de lavi b'mashu, that it won't asr b'mashu, that it will become batel chad betray like any other tarovus of yavish biyavish. Problem is, though, this goes against the Gemara Nechulim Kufam and Aleph. The Ketani Hasam, the Chatichas Nevela, Eina Betela, Mishum David Davar Shem Minyan. It says over there that a Chatichas Nevela is not Batel because it's Davar Shem Minyan, meaning Chatichas Nevela is Asr B'Mashahu, that it gets mixed in with 1,000 other Chatichas of Nevela, it does not become Batel. Afal Gav Delavi Yisrei Ana, even though it's not Yisrei Ana, V'Kasha Dimkein Avalei Talmud Delavi Yisrei Masis and Dasam Lufcha Minei Ayidacha. Why does doesn't the Gemara note this problem that over here we're saying that the Mishnah is coming to tell me with the last line that the only things that are Asur Mashu are things that have both qualities, that are both Dabrisha Minyan and Isra'na, specifically coming to exclude Nevela, that Nevela is not Asur Mashu? And there you have a Gemara in Chulin that says explicitly that Nevela is Asur Mashu, because Dabrisha Minyan alone is good enough, it does not also need to be Isra'na. How could the Gemara not at least raise the point that the Mishnayos are against each other? So says Tosos, the Kach Nirli, Lemu'ute de Kamar Hacha, tremendous Chiddush. When our Gemara says Lemu'ute, that the last line of the Mishnah comes to exclude something, Hainu de Lochashav Hacha Dover Shemin Yavlo Yisurana, Shalayerid Lishnos Rakecha de Katarti. It's not coming to tell me that the Halacha wouldn't be true of a Chatichas Nevela. It's coming to tell me that we don't list it in our Mishnah, that we're only interested in listing in our Mishnah items that have both of these exceptional qualities. Now, items that have one quality or the other might have the same din. They might be asur b'mashu. They might have the same halacha, but they don't make it into the Mishnah. It's l'me'ute from being mentioned in the Mishnah, not l'me'ute from the halacha. A very unusual usage of l'me'ute. Tosos, because he realizes it's a little bit of an unusual usage, has to give another example. Where else in Shas do we find the Mu'uteh is only about what gets listed and not about what the halacha is? He says you got to look in the first paragraph of Maseches Baba Kama. L'me'uteh masur mefagel davinami pir shalo yerid l'shenosam avagav de mechayev alayhu. So he said over there also you have a l'me'uteh that comes to exclude not from the halacha but simply from being mentioned on a list. Fine, new Mishnah. Yayin esach shenofa labar. If yayin esach falls into a bar, kulo asur b'ana. The entire bar is asur b'ana. Rav Shimon Gamliel Amar Yimachar Kulo Avichav Mechutz Mivnei Yayin Nesach Shabo. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, you don't have to asur the whole thing. All you got to do is sell the bar full of yayin to an Ovid Kuchavim and don't charge him for the ratio of Yayin Nesach, for the portion of it that was Yayin Nesach. So if you have 100 gallons in the bar and 1 gallon of Yayin Nesach falls in, sell it to a guy and charge him for 100 gallons, not for 101 gallons, and then you're going to be okay. That's Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel's opinion. Amar Rav, Halacha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Chavis Bechavios. The halacha would follow Rabbi Shimon Gamliel if it wasn't wine that fell into a bar of wine, but it was barrels that fell into other barrels. Then you could sell 101 barrels for the price of 100 barrels of a low yayin b'yayin, but not if it's yayin b'yayin that falls in. Ushmuel Amar Afilu yayin b'yayin. Shmuel says, no, what are you talking about? Even if it's wine that gets mixed together, you could also sell it like that. V'chenom Rabbi Bar Bchanan Rabbi Yochanan Afilu yayin b'yayin. V'chenom Rabbi Shmuel Bar Asanam Rabbi Chanina Afilu yayin b'yayin. Yayin. V'chinam Rav Nachman Amar Rav Arvua, Afilu Yayin V'Yayin. Amar Rav Nachman, Halach L'maisa, Yayin Esach, Yayin B'Yayin Aser, Chavis B'Chavis Mutter. The Halach L'maisa bottom line is that when dealing with Yayin Esach, if it is Yayin B'Yayin that falls in, it's going to be Aser. You can't sell it to a guy, Chutz Midmei, the Yayin that fell in. But Chavis B'Chavis is Mutter. One barrel of Yayin Esach is mixed in with 100 barrels of non-Yayin Esach. You could sell the 100 barrels, the 101 barrels to a guy for the price of 100 barrels. But Stam Yayin, which isn't as strict as Yayin Esach, you don't know that it's actually been used for Avodah Zarah, Afilu Yayin B'Yayin Mutter. Then even if it's Yayin B'Yayin, even if it becomes a Taroves, Lach B'Lach of Yayin B'Yayin, still it's going to be Mutter. If you look at the bottom Tosos, Amar Rav Halach Rav Shimon Gamliel B'Chavis, Amar Yimach Kol Yav Chavim, Vim Tomar, V'chi Poli Rav Shimon Gamliel Astam Asnisin, Tiktani Yayin Nesach B'Mashu, V'chmin B'Chavis B'in Achavios V'Kamar B'Mashu. So how could Rav Shimon Gamliel go against the Stam Mishnah, where we said that Yayin Nesach is B'Mashu? Meaning we just had this Mishnah today, the top of the Amud, the first thing on the list of things that Asur B'Mashu is Yayin Nesach, and we were very careful to say that that Mishnah is speaking about Chavis B'Chavis. And yet we still said it's Asur B'Mashu. So Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel is arguing on a Stam Mishnah. So Yesh Lomer, Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel Mukila Li'inyan Shalo Yochel Limkor Kol Echad Ve'echel Levado Lefi She'enu Batel Ma'vi Yayin Nesach Heter Al Yidei Bittel Aval Kol Atarov Es Vada Yochel Limkor Chutz Mitzvei Chavish Shabo. Interesting. Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel is not arguing on the previous Mishnah. Now the truth is, I would have answered this question by saying, yeah, so what? He's a Tana too. He's allowed to argue. But no, the Tos is saying Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel is not arguing on the Stam Mishnah. Apparently something troubling about him arguing on the previous Mishnah. What Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying is that that Mishnah is talking about if you have one barrel of Yayin Nesach that gets mixed in with 1,000 barrels of non-Yayin Nesach, and then you want to sell it one by one, you want to sell each barrel at a time, That's usur, even if you don't sell all 101 barrels. Even if you only end up selling 100 out of the barrels and you throw one of them away or whatever. That's where it usurs b'mashu. But everyone would agree, says Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, even the previous Mishnah would agree, that if you sell all 101 at the same time, chutz midmei yayin esek shabo, that's going to be chutz from the price of that one barrel, so that's going to be halachically permissible. That he holds you're certainly allowed to do. Okay, that's so good. Next Mishnah. Gas shel even. If you have a wine press made out of stone, so stone wine press, shezofsa ovid kuchavim, that an ovid kuchavim lined it with tar, meaning the problem with the stone wine press or with any wine press is that you're afraid you're going to lose wine. Wine is going to seep out, so you need to line it with something that will hold liquid very well. So you line it with some type of tar. Problem is, if you put tar on a wine press, it will smell, it will taste disgusting, it will ruin the whole time. So what they would do is they would mix in with the zephes some wine, and that wine would somehow nullify the negative taste of the zephes, and that way it would be an effective wine press and it wouldn't ruin all the wine. So let's say Novit Kochavim did the zephes, he did the lining of this wine press, the wine that he put into the zephes is bad. So Menagva V'Toris, all you need to do is dry it out and it's tahar. Now dry it out is not as simple as it sounds. The Gemara on the bottom of the Yamud, which we're probably not going to get to today, discusses the whole procedure of Menagva, but there is some procedure of drying it out, and then it's kosher, then you can use it. Vishal eats, and if the wine press is made out of wood, so why should it be different if it's made out of wood? So Rashi writes that shel eats is debaya zephes tuva ubalacham retfei, needs a lot more zephes, needs a lot more tar to be able to line it with, and therefore, since it needs a lot more tar, it needs a lot more wine to be put in the tar. So vishal eats, Rebbe Yomri Yinagev, Rebbe says you could dry it out also, that's good enough, meaning it's not going to make a difference, and it's also going to be okay to dry it out. The Chum say, no, that's not good enough. You need to actually peel off the zephes that's been put on it. You need to start again. You need to peel off the zephes in order for it to be mutter. Vishal cheres, if the wine press is made out of cheres, afal pisha kolafes hazephes harezu asura. That sounds like it's the most chamor, that even by being kolif the zephes, it's not going to be good enough. So Rashi says that we're supposed to assume at this point, when we read the Mishnah, that it's divrei akolhi, that this line is agreed upon by everybody, and that because cheres gufa below zifta bala lechamor, the reason is that cheres itself is balea. Even without zephes, cheres is going to be balea, the wine in the zephes, and even if you peel off the zephes, the cheres has already been balea that wine, so you can't kasher it. There's no way to get the wine out of the cheres. The cheres has already soaked in that wine. So those are the three types of wine presses: stone, wood, and cheres, in descending order of permissibility. Right? That's the Mishnah. Fine. Amar Rava, dafka zivsa, aval darach balo. That's only if the Ovid Chavim was zofes, he lined it himself. But if he was darachba, if he trampled on it, then it's not going to be a problem. So pshita zafsa tanan, of course not. It says zafsa. Why would I think that darachba is a problem? So it says no, ma'u the temu hadinafilu darachba. One might have thought that the same is true if he's darachba as well. Va'adiktani zafsa urchadim ilsukatani. And the only reason it says zafsa is just to tell me the normal case. Kamashmalan. That's why it comes to tell me. Because normally when you're zofes, that's when you're zorik bo yayin. So kamash mulan, that comes telling me, no, it's dafka zafsa. Ikeda amri, another version of what Rava says is pretty much the opposite. That amr Rava dafka zafsa, aval darach balo sagi la benigov. That it's dafka if he's zofes, that it's going to be insufficient to dry it out. But if he's darach ba, then it's not even going to be enough to dry it out. So frektumar pshita zafsa tanan. And on that we ask, that's obvious. It says zafsa. Why would I think that darach ba would suffice with niguv? So ma'od detemina, one might have thought, who adin dafilu darach ba, that the same would be true even if he's darach ba, v'adiktani zafsa, or chadimilsa katani. And the reason why I mention zafsa is just because that's the normal thing. Kamash mulan, dafka zafsa, avil darach ba, lo sagi la beniguv. That's why it tells me that no, dafka zafsa, but if you were darach ba, then it wouldn't be sufficient to do niguv. You would need a stronger level of kashering, which Rashi says would be kiluf. You would need to peel it off, because the wine is assumed to get into the cracks. Then we're going to assume that the wine got into the cracks through darachba. Darachba means, Rashi points out, darachba means an ovid chavim is dorech on a gas mizufefes, that you have have a wine press that already has the zephes and he's darach by, he tramples on it. What's he trampling on it for? That's how they would press the wine. They would put a bunch of grapes in and they would start stepping on them. So he's trampling on a wine press that's already mizufefes. So now he's putting pressure on it. So more wine is getting mixed in. So he's getting balua in there. So that's why one might have thought it's even worse. And niguv would not be good enough. Kamashmalan that the niguv is good enough. Why would I think that it's not good enough? So the Gemara tells a story. There was a guy that came to Rabbi Chiya. Amrlei havli gavra didachi li ma'atzar ta'i. He says, I need somebody who could clean out my wine press for me. My wine press has shilas of stam yenim in there, so I need someone who can come and kasher my wine press for me, clean it out for me. This is what he tells Rabbi Chiya. So amrlei l'rav, so Rabbi Chiya tells his nephew, you're always looking for an after school job, Rav. So he tells his nephew, Rav, zil b'hadei v'chazi delo mitzavchaz lai b'medrasha. Go take care of this for him, go kasher his wine press, but do me a favor. I really don't want to deal with the heartache of people coming to kvetch to me that it was too much of a job and that you charge him too much money. Take it easy on him. Don't charge him too much. Be fair about it. Be reasonable about it. So make sure no one comes to the Beis Medrash disturbing my learning to complain that my nephew overcharges for kashering a wine press. So Azul Chazia Davashia Tfei. So Rav went and he saw first upon the initial examination of the wine press, he saw that it was incredibly smooth. So he said, Amar Havadeh Benigov Sagli. He says, ah, Baruch Hashem, all I need to do is dry it out because it's very smooth. Nothing, there are no cracks, nothing got balua anywhere. So all I'm going to need to do is dry it out. But then, Bahadi Tukazal Vasi, but then as he examined a little bit closer, Chazi Pilami to say, he saw underneath that smooth layer, there were cracks all over the place. And he saw that those cracks were full of wine. Those cracks were not empty. They had wine all over them. So Amar Halo Sagila Benigovel Bekilov, he says, uh-oh, this isn't going to be a simple job. This isn't going to be enough to just do a niguv. I'm going to have to do a kiluf. I'm going to have to peel off the whole layer of zephes. This is going to be a serious job. Now I understand what my uncle was talking about when he said, Chazid lo mitzavacha salai be midrasha. They said, I better make sure that they don't come complaining to him in the Beis Medrash. Now I realize what he was saying, because he understood what this job would entail, and he knew that it would be something that would take a lot of effort. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Hagas v'amachatz v'amishpech shalovdik chavim, Rebbe matir b'niguv v'cham moshim. The wine press, which is what our Mishnah spoke about, but also the pail that catches the wine, and the mashbech, the funnel that you pour the wine through, that belong to the chavim. Rebbe says to kasher all those things, all you need to do is niguv, and the chavim say, no, it's going to be asur, niguv is not going to be good enough. Umoda Rebbe bekankanim shalov the chavim shein asurin. But even Rebbe agrees that the jugs where they keep their wine, wherever the chavim keep their wine, are going to be asur, and niguv will not suffice. Uma hefresh ben zelazeh, why is there a difference between the kankanim of the chavim versus the gas and the mashbech and all this other stuff? And the answer is very simple. That when it comes to the kankanim, you keep wine in there for a long time. And since you keep wine in there for a long time, over time, it could be balea. But over here, it's not machnis alakim. Things that the press itself and the mashbech, the wine just passes through them. The wine doesn't stay in them for an extended period of time, and therefore niguv will suffice. V'shaleitz v'shalevin yinagev v'im hayu mezufaf v'nasurin. If it was made out of wood or out of stone, you could dry it out. But if it was mezufaf, then it's aser. Why do you say that if it's made out of stone and it's lined with tar, that it's aser? Our Mishnah said that if it's made out of stone and it's lined with tar, just dry it out and it's tar, it's fine. So says Gemara, Masis and Dorach ba Brisa de Dorach ba. The Mishnah is talking about where you weren't dorich on it, where you didn't yet step on it. When the Brisa is talking about where you did trample on it, where you already did press wine with it. Amar Mar. We just said that the press and the pail and the funnel of the Ovid Chavim, Rebbe thinks Niguv is good enough, Chavim say is Asur. But didn't we learn that Shalcheres, things that are made out of Cheres, even if you peel off the Zephes, it's going to be Asur. So how could Rebbe say it's totally Mutter, all you need to do is Niguv? So Amarav is safer than Masnis and Asal and Rabbanan. The safer must be assuming something like the Rabbanon, not like Rebbe. That last line, that's why when Rashi commented on that line of Vishalcheres in the Mishnah, Rashi said, Kasalka Daitach Divrei Akolhi. You're supposed to think when you read the Mishnah at first that it's Divrei Akol, but here's where the Gemara changes it. Whenever Rashi tells us Kasalka Daitach on the Mishnah, it means that the Gemara is going to change that understanding. This is where the Gemara changes that understanding. That last line of the Mishnah is only going like the Rabbanon against Rebbe. Next four words are critical, even though it seems unimportant. Darish Rava, Nava Artecho. Nava Artecho. What does that mean? A gas, if you want to kasher it, boil something in it. Boil water in it. So why is that so critical? So Tosfos makes a big deal about this. Tosfos says, what does that mean? To kasher a gas, you boil up water in it. How do you boil water in a gas, in a wine press? What are you going to light a fire under the wine press? You're going to burn the whole wine press down. You're going to destroy the whole thing. So how do you boil water in a wine press? Tosfos says there's only one Eitzah. There's only one way you could possibly do that. By pouring boiling water into the wine press. So says Rabbeinu Tam, what you see from here is that Iroi Kli Rishon has a din of Kli Rishon. That when you pour boiling water from a Kli Rishon, it has the same din as a Kli Rishon. And just like you can kasher in a Kli Rishon itself, you can kasher Al Yedei Iroi Kli Rishon. And if that's the case, so this is going to have major ramifications in Halacha. Obviously, it will be a major chumrah for Bishul B'Shabbos, that Iroi Kli Rishon is going to be considered a Kli Rishon when it comes to Bishul. But in terms of Hechshar Kelim, it's going to be a huge kula in regards to Hechshar Kelim. That Iroi Kli Rishon, you can kasher Al Yedei Iroi. The Rashbam, Rabbeinu Tam's brother, disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam. As the Rashbam writes, in the middle of the Tosov, Rashbam Cholik, or Rabbeinu Tam, he says, no, Iroi is Kli Sheni, it has a din of a Kli Sheni. Why over here do we allow kashering the gas Al Yedei Iroi? So the Rashbam says, no, over here we allow it because the gas is not used with anything hot to begin with. Since there's no heat in its initial use, you don't really need Kli Rishon to kasher it, and therefore, even though Iroi is Kli Sheni, is going to suffice over here. But then Tosa says that the truth is somewhere, the truth lies in the middle. Tosa says in the second wide line, Hilkach Iroi lo kekli rishon velo kekli sheni legamri. Iroi is neither like a Kli Rishon nor like a Kli Sheni. Ela mevashel mavlia hu kedei klipa velo yoser. It could only cook and be mavlia a kedei klipa, the outermost shell, the outermost layer of the item. And therefore, if something became usher in a Kli Rishon, if you stuck a ladle, let's say, into a Kli Rishon that had treifa soup, you cannot kasher that ladle through Iroi, because the ladle is totally through and through soaked with tam of iser, and by doing Iroi, you're only getting rid of the tam of iser in the Kedei Klipa, in the outermost surface. Iroi only takes care of Kedei Klipa, but and this is true in Hilchos Shabbos as well, Iroi Kli Rishon only takes care of Kedei Klipa, but it's not like a Kli Rishon, nor like a Kli Sheni. Okay, but Hashem, we'll pick up from Rava tomorrow.